Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. Several people who clashed with police Tuesday morning, early this morning, were arrested after a confrontation near Quail and West Streets. Police say they were hurling rocks and bricks at police officers. The clash occurred shortly after midnight and followed a tense standoff around the city's public safety building on Henry Johnson Boulevard. All of this came after a peaceful show of civil disobedience in the streets of Albany throughout the day on Monday. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins met yesterday with protesters and told them he takes reports of police brutality very seriously. We are joined by the Chief of Police for the city of Albany, Eric Hawkins, with us this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always good to have you on our airwaves, and especially to talk about a day like today and what we are going through. Let us talk first about about curfews. Where do you stand on this? How are they working? Are curfews working? And of course, we're seeing this play across the entire country, but in the city of Albany, and for your police department and keeping law and order, are those curfews a good idea?
You know, they help in the sense that they keep the streets with less volume. You know, obviously the people who are intent on creating mayhem and destruction in the community won't think much of a curfew, but it will signal to the good law-abiding people that it may not be safe to be on the streets, and so it protects them. And it also, again, it likely results in fewer people being on the streets, and it allows us to more readily identify those who may have intentions on destroying our neighborhoods.
Would you recommend a curfew for tonight?
Right now, I don't recommend it at this point, but intelligence is evolving as we proceed throughout the day. And if we start to get some more intelligence that indicates that there may be some trouble tonight, then I may make that recommendation to the mayor.
When you talk about that intelligence, what goes into that? I mean, I know we were talking to the mayor yesterday. She joined us on this program. And what goes into that decision? Because obviously there is what is on social media. I understand that. But does it also have to do with what is happening and playing out on the world stage and the fact of what the president said as of 6:50 yesterday afternoon or yesterday evening?
All of those things, I think, become a factor. You know, we have some very talented crime analysts at the local level within our police department, and we also have partnerships with law enforcement agencies at all of the levels, at state and federal and county level as well. And particularly, we have a very, very good relationship with FBI analysts. And so they help us to decipher some of the social media information that's flowing through and tracking other forms of information that they have access to and giving us some recommendations as to whether or not that information is are indicators of problems that may occur. And so we look at all of those things. We take a more global approach as well and see what's happening outside of the city of Albany. And we get together and come up with a recommendation as to whether or not we think it should be implemented.
Obviously you had arrests last night. Do you know how many ultimately were arrested?
Yeah, we had 11 total arrests. But of those 11, 9 were related to the civil unrest.
Okay.
So of those 9 arrests, 5 were from people outside of the city of Albany. So the majority of the arrests for the civil unrest involved non-residents. And it confirms what we have been suspecting both Saturday night and last night, and that we had these outside instigators who are coming into the community and provoking this sort of stuff. And it's premeditated, it's planned, and their intention is to create chaos and mayhem and destroy property and harm people.
Do we see, so that's different, I guess, I wonder about this, the idea of the outsider, because, I mean, Albany is the capital city. So if you are going to, I live in Washington County, but if I want to peacefully protest, well, guess what? We don't have one in the village of Greenwich, but we actually do. But let's say I want to go down to the big one in the city, right? So you go down to the city. So isn't that the same? Is that the same thing? I guess I'm just trying to figure out of how you are able to categorize someone who is coming to be a part of a protest versus someone who is coming in to be an instigator.
And I only say that to dispel this narrative that these are the good people of Albany who are intent on destroying their community because they feel that there's some sort of problems with their police department. And that narrative is out there. And we see that narrative in other communities across the country. And what I'm saying, what other police chiefs have said, is that, sure, we know that these demonstrations are open to the public and we are going to get outsiders, but the people, we have relationships with those that we serve, and we have a very solid relationship with the people in the city of Albany. The people in Albany do not want destruction and chaos and damaged property and people hurt in their community. And so we only say that to say that this is not being caused by people in this community.
The peaceful protest that happened for a better part of the day yesterday, was there, in viewing it, could you see an obvious turn as to when this is no longer the group of people who came here to say, I'm very concerned of what is happening in our nation, I'm very concerned of what's happening when it comes to the issue of police brutality, and I want to protest that, to we are now going to start, the violence begins?
Yes, I was there at the outset, somewhere around 11 a.m. or so yesterday, and they were peacefully protesting at the intersection of Henry Johnson Boulevard and Livingston. And I was there, and I was within them. We were talking, we were interacting, exchanging thoughts and ideas, and it was a very constructive interaction and dialogue at that point. And they left, and they dispersed, and then there was a march throughout the city. And once that march, the individuals left and came back around, I noticed a very obvious change in the type of the dynamics of that group when they came back. And so it was very obvious that the people that I had interacted with during that first interaction were very different than the ones that we were getting ready to interact with as they came back the second time. And the outcome showed that was in fact the case.
Again, we're seeing this throughout the country, but is there a way to prevent riot gear being used? Is there a way to prevent tear gas being used? Or do they have to be used because they are effective?
They're very effective, and they keep officers from being hurt, seriously hurt. With the Saturday night, we had an officer who was hit in the head with a big piece of concrete, and he was wearing a helmet, protective helmet. Had he not been wearing that, then it would have been likely a very, very serious injury. And officers that were being hit with other items, other weapons, basically, that they were using, that they were picking up and using as weapons. And so it's necessary to protect officers in order to safely clear our streets and our neighborhoods from these individuals who their sole intention is to cause destruction during those incidents.
And who ultimately makes the call on that?
Me, the chief. Yeah, the chief ultimately makes the call, yes.
Yeah. And so this has been used the last few nights, and I guess you have to always, just anticipatory, but you always have to expect that whatever you're dealing with could get out of hand.
Yes, that's fair to say, yes.
Let's go to Saturday night. What happened Saturday night? How is that different, what happened Saturday night, to what happened last night?
Well, they were very similar in terms of the first round of demonstrations were peaceful and constructive and devolved to different people, different actors now involved, and their sole intent was to cause chaos and destruction in the community. And Saturday night was the chain of events were very similar to what we saw last night.
You have taken some criticism for not being on the scene on Saturday night. You were out of town. I think the mayor had a great statement yesterday. I asked her, I said, you know, was there any point you were like, oh, damn, I wish Eric were here? And she said, no, I felt like he was here. And I thought, well, that's a great answer. Do you have the obvious question is, where were you?
And I'm getting that. And my answer to that is there's as a public official, I understand that I have an obligation to open up private parts of my life to the public.
Right.
You know, where I live, my personal thoughts on controversial matters, you know, what family members do, you know, in some cases, what events I'm going to, when I'm going to them, and things like that. And I'm very, very open. And I've been open in my almost 2 years here in Albany. And I go to meetings, I share, and I do all of those things that we understand that a public official needs to do in terms of sharing of private information. But there are some private aspects of my life that I just choose to want to keep private. And it's just like anybody else.
Right.
You know, everybody deserves a right to have a corner of their privacy that they just keep to themselves. And so when people are asking, where are you going? What are you doing? You know, my answer is I have a life just like everybody else. Yes, I'm the chief of police, and yes, I have an obligation that's more than what I guess an ordinary person would have in terms of serving a community, and I get that piece of it. But yes, I have a life, and I have a personal life, and there are some times when I have to take care of personal matters. Now, if those personal matters compromise my ability to serve the community, then it's a problem. But the corner of my life that I just choose to keep private does not compromise my ability in any way to serve this community. And so when we look back at what happened Saturday night, a couple of weeks prior to that Saturday, I had prearranged to have some private time. I took a vacation day which would have been this past Friday. I took a vacation day, and I had and obviously I'm off on Saturdays and Sundays, so I had 3 days to take care of some personal business. And so after I left work on Thursday night, I left to handle that business. And so I was out of town that Thursday night. And my deputies, who are very, very competent deputy chiefs, they have years and years of experience. That's why I have them in this position. They understood that I was out of town. And it's no different than if I went out of town for a police conference. There are times when I'm in California or Florida or Texas for a police conference for sometimes a week at a time, or if I'm doing some family business or recreation, there's no difference. And so I always, and I'm going to end this because I know we got to get to other stuff, but I always scan my calendar if I have to take personal business to make sure that nothing is happening in the community. There are no community events, there are no festivals, nothing that I'm obliged to attend for that weekend or that day or whenever I'm leaving. And I schedule my time off around those openings in my calendar because I don't have very many openings in my calendar to handle personal stuff. And so that's what I did that time.
Yeah.
Now, had I known before I left Thursday night that there was going to be a riot unlike anything that we'd seen in the city of Albany, I wouldn't have left. I was out of town that Friday when I received notice that there was a rally scheduled for our city for the following day. And it wasn't a riot. It was a peaceful rally. And so I immediately got with our crime analysts and my deputy chiefs and other people, and we talked about it. And there were no indications whatsoever that that rally was going to devolve into chaos or certainly a riot.
At any time,
let me finish.
Sure, that's
part
fine.
Of it also, and so I was in constant communication throughout that day Friday with the people in the city of Albany, monitoring that situation. And at no time was there any indication that it was going to devolve into a riot? Even Saturday, all day Saturday, I'm in constant communication with people to find out what's happening. Had I known even Saturday that this was going to devolve into a riot, I would have left at that time. Turns out that that ended up being a peaceful rally. It started, it ended. I'm in constant communication with my staff, and they're telling me once it was over at 4 or 5 o'clock or whatever it was, you know, chief, we're done. This is it. You know, it went off. They were peaceful. They've dispersed. There's still a couple of groups here and there, but everything's under control. And so I'm figuring everything's fine. And then later that night, Saturday, I get the call that it's chaos.
Right.
And at that point, I immediately return back to the city.
I don't think I don't think there's anyone who works that doesn't feel for what happened to you. I mean, I think everybody gets that in the sense that, oh, God, you know, I should be there and this is happening and unfolding and I'm here. I think the only, and I assume you were advised on this at some point, but I guess this would all go away if you just said, okay, I was, you know, fishing with my brother in Syracuse. You know, would that change it? That it would go away and it wouldn't be a question that I'm asking you and other people are asking you?
I can say to anybody who's asking that question that I was doing, there were no illegal activities going on. There was nothing improper, nothing inappropriate. It was simply a private matter that I had to take care of. Nothing more.
Okay.
And had I known, even when I pre-scheduled that time, had I known before I left that there was going to be problems, I would have canceled before I even left. There were no indications whatsoever. And again, it was similar to any other time that I have to leave the city of Albany, whether it's for professional reasons or personal reasons or recreation. I always check to make sure that nothing is there. And there are no threats. And if something happens, I immediately return. You know, it's unreasonable to have an expectation that anybody, police chief, whoever it is chained to a geographic location 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's just not possible.
I agree with
that. Just like everybody else, you know, everybody needs an opportunity to decompress or take care of personal matters at a point. But I never allow those personal matters to interfere with my duties and responsibilities and obligations to the city of Albany. It just so happened, I mean, had I had a crystal ball to know that we were going to have a riot on that Saturday night, then of course I would have made some changes. But I was out of town when it happened.
Now,
as soon as I found out about it, I returned immediately.
So, Chief, unfortunately, the governor is coming out, so I have to go to him. I'm hoping you'll come back and we can talk a little bit more because I want to talk to what you actually talked to the protesters about. I thank you very much for being with us this morning. We are now going to go to the governor live from the Red Room in Albany.